This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم.
There's a beautiful hadith in Muslim. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الله تعالى إذا أحب عبدا دعا جبريل. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, then He calls Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel. فَقَالْ إِنْ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحْبِبْهُ. I love such and such a person, so you also love him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Jibreel alayhi salam to love that person. فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلُ. So Jibreel alayhi salam loves that person. ثُمَّ يُنَادَى فِي السَّمَاءِ. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي فِي السَّمَاءِ فَيَقُولُ. Then Jibreel alayhi salam, he calls out in the skies and he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّهُ فَيُحِبُّهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ. Then Jibreel alayhi salam, he calls out in the skies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such and such a person. So everybody love him. So then the dwellers of the sky, the angels, they love that person. ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then acceptance is put on the earth for that person. Meaning people accept him, people love him.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. I was mentioning at Salatul Maghrib, we tend to take for granted the fact that we have scholars coming in on a daily basis and giving us lectures. We have speakers that are in demand throughout the US. Okay, we have Brother Norman coming in on Sundays. We have Sheikh Abdul Nasir on Tuesdays. You have Sheikh Hassan Khalil on Wednesdays, and then myself on Thursdays. So, and then on Fridays we have also lectures taking place, like we have tonight, off and on. So this basically we are having lectures almost on a daily basis, but we tend to take these things for granted. So we really need to make sure that whatever event takes place, we need to take full advantage of it and try to participate and learn from these shuyukh. As I mentioned many times before, in al ulama warathatul anbiya, the ulama, they are the inheritors of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Wal anbiya lam yurithu dinaran wala dirhaman bal warathul ilm. The anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they did not leave dinars and dirhams and pounds and shillings. They actually left knowledge for us. That was the inheritance of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So the ulama, the scholars, are basically the representatives of the prophets right now. Basically, you can just say, as if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he sent the ulama to teach us. And they are his representatives, their ambassadors, his ambassadors. So we need to respect that, and we need to take full advantage of these study circles, these lectures, these seminars, and try to not just listen to them and benefit from them, but put them into practice. This is the main thing, inshallah. So tonight's theme is the issue of love, and I've been given the topic to talk about love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us and love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for us. And why is that important for us to talk about? Not just because we are Muslims, not just because we are supposed to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is, because we are living in an American society, which is a Judeo-Christian society, there is a deeper understanding that we have to come to. There is a deeper reason why we need to recognize the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. I remember when I first came to the US, the first ever church group that came to the masjid where I was serving, there was an old lady that was sitting in the back, and she put up her hand while I was talking, and she asked me a question. Do you know that God loves you? And that was basically something that I didn't understand the depth of at that point. But as I proceeded to be an imam and studied this issue of what the Christians believe and the fact that there is a huge concept of love in Christianity. Love for God, God loves us, Jesus loves us, because God loves us, He sent Jesus, as they say, na'udhu billah, his only son to die on the cross for our sins. So all of that is related to the love of God. And the perception that is put across about Muslims and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Muslims, they worship a different God, a God which is vengeful, wrathful, angry, punishes, that we're supposed to be fearing all the time. That is the perception that is put out there. We know that we worship the same God. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same God that sent Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the same God that sent Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We worship him. So why is the misunderstanding? And there is a misunderstanding from our part also. We have to understand that. We misunderstand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't understand the mercy and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give priority to the fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll talk about that in a minute, but let me tell you about a few weeks what happened. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the Dallas University, University of Dallas. And University of Dallas is a Catholic university. I was supposed to be giving a talk to a classroom, a world religions class or whatever it was. But in the class itself, we had a few nuns and a few priests, and one of them was a very elderly priest. He asked me a question. He said that I've studied the Quran, but I don't find verses which talk about the love of God. Of course, there are some there, but he didn't come across them. But he asked the question, and the background to the question is what I've just mentioned. The background to the question is what I've just mentioned. That the perception is that they think that we worship a God which is different, angry, wrathful, vengeful, whatever. So he asked me that question. The very same week, a couple of days later, we had a meeting. Oh, then they're not able to hear it?
I'll change it.
No, yeah, I turned it off myself because I had this one. Okay, okay. I got it. So the next couple of days, we had a meeting right in this room over here, the children's room. We had a meeting of pastors, priests that came, and you know, we are actually trying to get together, and actually it's been decided that we're going to have a retreat, imams and pastors retreat. And amongst them is, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with him, Pastor Bob Roberts. He's become a very good friend of mine in the last couple of years. And he's a very respectful, a very polite person. He respects Islam, he respects Muslims. And he's actually he talks about the Palestinians very favorably. Unlike many of the, and he's evangelist too, basically, which is supposed to be very hardline branch of Christianity. But he talked to me on the side. And he asked me a very deep question also, which is related to this. And again, very respectfully, and he always starts off with these words: if I'm offending you, please just tell me so I'll apologize. And then he asked the question. The question was this, and this is something that probably Muslims never even think about. That as Muslims, he said, when you practice, is it because you are afraid of God's punishment and you don't want to go to hell and you want to go to paradise? Or do you practice Islam because you love God? That's a very deep and profound question. And probably a lot of us never even thought about this question before in our lives. Maybe people from tasawwuf background who talk a lot about tazkiyah, maybe they talk along these lines. But generally speaking, Muslims, we never think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along these lines, that I should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because I love Him, not because I have any ulterior motive of getting paradise and saving myself from the punishment. The purpose should be that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me. And because of that love, I should express my love through my obedience to Him. And I think that that's something that we really need to contemplate and think about. And especially living in this society, we need to think about it. So when we talk to Jews and Christians about Islam, it should be with this understanding. Another misconception that we have is the word of taqwa that we use, wattaqullah. It's always translated as fear Allah. And it's not as, you know, point blank as just fearing Allah. And the repetition of this word again and again has made us think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is out there just about to send thunderbolts down upon us, you know, the moment we take a step wrong. But the reality is that we see the constant disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking place. People associating partners with Him, people disobeying Him, committing sins, stealing, killing, murdering, raping, pillaging, starting wars. Even, na'udhu billah, people worshipping the shaitan. There are people who do that. Instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they worship the shaitan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that He doesn't send down His punishment despite all of this disobedience that's taking place. Now, if you put it from a percentage point of view, even amongst the Muslims, how much of a percentage of Muslims is truly practicing Islam? Just think about that. Truly practicing Islam. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not sending down punishment to us. He's not sending down any kind of earthquake or tornado or hurricane. We see these from time to time. But it's not a general trend that we see every day that something happens that because of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these things happen. Only sometimes to awaken us and to make us realize that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. He has the power to do these things if He wants to. But He doesn't. He is so merciful that He doesn't punish us that way. So we really need to understand this, that when we talk about taqwa, taqwa truly means to avoid displeasing that Creator of ours who is so merciful and loves us so much that we don't want to displease Him, so we stay away from those things that would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and could lead to our punishment. That's basically, in a broad sense, what taqwa is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, but how do we gain His love even more? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Tell them, O Prophet of Allah, if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me, follow my footsteps, meaning the footsteps of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the result of this will be يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you in return and He will forgive you your sins. So if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us, then we have to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Do you know in which surah this ayah was revealed? Anybody knows? Where's the Huffaz? Anybody? Huffaz? Ali Imran, Jazakallah khair. Now this ayah is slap bang in the middle of the verses which talk about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and Maryam. Straight after these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fact that Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, just like Shaykh Abdul Karim recited right now, in Surah Maryam, those verses were about Maryam and the way that Jibreel alayhi salam came to her and gave her the good news that she's going to have a child. Similarly, this story is mentioned in Ali Imran, straight after the verse that I've just recited. So this placing of this verse, I think it's quite possible that the main focus is amongst those people, the Christians, who talk about love so much, loving God, God loving us, If you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Christians on the one hand, and also Muslims, then the way to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? فَاتَّبِعُونِ. You have to give up all of the previous teachings of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and adopt the teachings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and his sunnah. فَاتَّبِعُونِ. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. And a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you in return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has no need for our deen. He has no need for us. He has no need for us to worship Him. That's why He says in another verse of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. O people of Iman, if you were to return from your religion, if you were to give up your religion, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need you, doesn't need me, doesn't need anybody here, doesn't need our worship, doesn't need our Iman, doesn't need our love, He doesn't need it. When we do something, it is for our sake. It is because we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we were to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring other people. And those people would have the quality. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. He would love them, and they would love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts these people. And the quality of them will be أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They will be humble amongst the people of Iman. They will have humility around the people of Iman. And عِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And amongst the disbelievers, they will... some people, they say, they mistranslate this. And I think that the best meaning of this is that they are proud in front of the disbelievers. They are proud, proud of wearing hijab, proud of having a beard, proud of wearing a jalabiyah, proud of having a Muslim name. عِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. It's the opposite nowadays. Amongst the Muslims, we are so loud-mouthed and obnoxious and impolite. Amongst the disbelievers, we lower our heads and we are the way we should be with the Muslims. So we have to be proud, even amongst the non-Muslims, for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We should never feel ashamed of the religion. But the point here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that such people, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, they love Him and He loves such people. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, then what is the result of that? There's a beautiful hadith in Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah ta'ala idha habba 'abdan da'a Jibril." When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, then He calls Jibril alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel. فقال إني أحب فلانا فأحببه. I love such and such a person, so you also love him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Jibreel alayhi salam to love that person. فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلُ. So Jibreel alayhi salam loves that person. ثُمَّ يُنَادَى فِي السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ يُنَادِي فِي السَّمَاءِ فَيَقُولُ. Then Jibreel alayhi salam, he calls out in the skies and he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّهُ فَيُحِبُّهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ. Then Jibreel alayhi salam, he calls out in the skies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such and such a person. So everybody love him. So then the dwellers of the sky, the angels, they love that person. ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then acceptance is put on the earth for that person. Meaning people accept him, people love him. And you've probably seen and experienced this, that you've never met a person in your life, and suddenly, you just see him, and you just love that person. It happens. I was at an event in Richardson Masjid the other day, and somebody was who never had met Sheikh Yasir Bridges before, who's going to be talking tomorrow. He said that, "I didn't know who he was." He came to our masjid, he was sitting there, and I looked at him, and I looked at him, and I looked at him. Then I felt compelled to go up to him and tell him, that, brother, I don't know who you are, but I love you for the sake of Allah. This is actually a true story that happened a couple of weeks ago, Richardson Masjid. And then afterwards he found out, well, this is Sheikh Yasir Birjas. So he's going to be here tomorrow, so you're going to benefit from him, inshallah. But this is what is meant by ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that acceptance is put on the earth for that person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and Jibreel alayhi salam loves. And then the opposite also rings true sometimes. The opposite also rings true sometimes, which is what we need to be careful about. وَإِذَا أَبْغَضَ أَبْدًا دَعَى جِبْرِيلِ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like a person, He calls Jibreel alayhi salam and tells him, إِنِي أُبْغِضُ فُلَانًا, I don't like such and such a person. فَأَبْغِضُهُ, you also don't like him. فَيُبْغِضُهُ جِبْرِيل ثُمَّ يُنَادِي فِي أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضُ فُلَانًا فَأَبْغِضُوهُ فَيُبْغِضُهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ, then he calls out into the sky and the angels, they also dislike this person. ثُمَّ تُوضَ لَهُ الْبَغْضَاءِ فِي السَّمَاءِ, and then al-baghdha, meaning disliking, is put in the skies for that person. And in this riwayah, this the issue of hatred in the earth is not mentioned, but only the sky is mentioned. We talk about the love of the Prophet ﷺ for us. This is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. What about the love of the Prophet ﷺ for us? The love of the Prophet is summarized in a very beautiful ayah of Surah At-Tawbah. Right at the end of Surah At-Tawbah, the last two ayahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. One beautiful ayah that sums up the love of the Prophet ﷺ for everyone. Allah says that indeed, a prophet has come from amongst you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ. Any difficulty that you endure, this anata, it has been translated and interpreted in many ways. Some scholars say the fact that you are misguided, it hurts him. It is heavy upon him when you are misguided. And other scholars say it's heavy upon him and difficult upon him when you face difficulty. So there are different interpretations. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Haris means, hils means greedy. So he is greedy upon you, meaning he's greedy for your welfare. He's greedy for you to be successful. He wants you to be successful in this world and the hereafter. This is what he means. Harisun alaikum. Just like the parents want their children to be successful, they want their children to be successful in this world and the hereafter. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ, he is haris upon us. He wants us to be successful. And bil mu'mineena ra'ufur rahim, and specifically with the people of Iman, he is gentle and merciful. This ayah, like I said, it was at the end of Surah At-Tawbah. The disbelievers, basically what they do nowadays, they take ayat of Surah At-Tawbah and they say that this ayah is full of warfare, it's full of fighting. And this was one of the last surahs that was revealed. But this ayah basically sums up what Islam is. Islam is not about warfare. It's not about killing. It's not about suppressing people. It is a mercy for mankind that people attain success in this world and the hereafter. That's why the Prophet, who was rahmatul lil alameen, was mercy for the worlds, he was sent for humanity. And this Prophet had these qualities in him. So all the fighting that takes place, it is against those people that stand in the way of people attaining success of the hereafter. People who stand in the way, they become a hindrance in the way of people attaining that success with which the Prophet ﷺ came with. The message that the Prophet ﷺ brought, those people are fought against. Otherwise, that's not the purpose of Islam. The purpose of Islam is summed up in this verse, that the message of Islam is spread and it is given to people so that they attain this success of the hereafter. And I'll just finish off with a hadith which you might have heard me mentioning many times before. And this hadith, actually, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned this at the time of Hajjatul Wada', towards the end of his life. He said that, "I wish to meet my brothers. I wish that I could meet my brothers." So the Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, alasna ikhwanuk? Are we not your brothers, O Prophet of Allah?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "No. Bal antum ashabi. You are my companions. Ikhwani alladhina lam ya'tu ba'd. My brothers are the ones who have not yet come." So he's referring to us. He's referring to me and you, all the sisters upstairs. He wanted to meet us. He wanted to talk to us. He wanted to see us. He wished that he could have met us. Do we have the same level of interest and zeal to meet the beloved Prophet ﷺ? Do we want to meet him? Do we love him so much? So the Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, you've never met all these people that are going to come. How are you going to recognize them on the Day of Judgment?" So the Prophet gave a beautiful example. He said that a person who has many dark horses, one of those horses has white markings on its face and its legs. Can the master of those horses recognize this particular horse from the other horses? So the Sahaba said, "Of course, Ya Rasulullah. Of course he can recognize that particular horse." So the Prophet ﷺ said that on the Day of Judgment, my ummah will come and their forearms and their faces and their feet will be shining because of the effects of wudu that they used to do in this world. So just think how misfortunate is that person who deprives himself from the Prophet ﷺ recognizing him by not praying, by not making wudu. How misfortunate is that person? The only way of recognition is the fact that you're making wudu and you're praying the salat. If you're not doing it, the Prophet ﷺ is not going to recognize you. And how fortunate is the person who is praying and he is observing the fara'id, he is observing the salat, he's making the wudu properly as it should be done, making means for himself to be recognized by the Prophet ﷺ. I'm going to just finish off, inshallah, by just making a quick dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the ziyarah of the Prophet ﷺ and bless us with the drinking from the fountain of Kawthar directly from the hands of the Prophet ﷺ. This is another thing that this ummah is going to have on the Day of Judgment, that we're going to be lining up and drinking directly from the hands of the Prophet, from this special fountain, Al-Kawthar. It said that on that very hot day, when the sun is going to be above our heads, when we drink from that fountain, we will never become thirsty after that, ever again. So this is something that we need to strive for, something we need to yearn for, something we need to work for, and it's not something that is, as the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliyah." The merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not cheap. It's expensive. It's precious. What is the merchandise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to trade with us? It is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give it to us, but it's not cheap. It comes at a price. And that price is that we sacrifice ourselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who loves us very much, and we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by observing his sunnah and adopting his sunnah in our lives. That is our sign of love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me and everyone the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Just a quick reminder before Sheikh Mamduh takes over. Tomorrow we're going to have Fajr prayer. Sheikh Mamduh is going to lead, and we're going to make Qunut Nazila particularly for the people of Syria tomorrow, inshallah. We know that they are going through so much trouble right now. And we are going to, inshallah, pray for them. Sheikh Mamdu is going to lead the prayer. And following that, inshallah, we're going to have the community breakfast. Please do try to participate, inshallah.